Hey, and welcome to the Humanity Church Podcast. So excited that you're here. We hope that you enjoy this week's talk and it really connects to your life in a meaningful way. If you're live in the Pomona area, we would love to have you at one of our gatherings at 10 a.m. or at one of our Humanity groups that meet all throughout the week, all over the city. If you want more information about our community, you can go to www.humanitychurch.com or download our app on your phone on Apple or Android. If you like what you're hearing here and want to continue to support the ongoing work at Humanity, you can text the word Humanity Church, one word, to 77977 and give back financially in just about 10 seconds. Hey, and here's this week's talk that was given live at our Sunday gathering at Humanity Church.
I officially want to welcome you to 2021, right? You made it. You're a survivor. First gathering of the year. It's always exciting. If you've been a part of us for some time, you know that we have this longstanding tradition of doing a potluck on the first Sunday of the year. Last year, we couldn't do it because we had grown too big. This year, we can't do it because there's the plague. And so we are just here and we are welcome to being 2021 in a different way with one another. I think that we were all excited to see 2020 ending and to have a pause on that season of our life. Although I've heard multiple times that 2020 has now just turned 21 and now it can drink. So who knows what 2021 is going to have in front of us. And if you know me as a person, as a pastor, one of the things I hate the most, in fact, when I find myself having to go there in my talks, I cringe, which is cliches. I just don't like in saying, like, hey, this is what, like, the thing that everyone says. Like, I kind of make fun of them and joke about them because there's a lot of just catchphrases that we use in Christianity. And I remember when 2020 was starting, so many churches and pastors were like, 2020 vision, remember that? And it was all about 2020 vision. And I was like, we are not doing 2020 vision here at Humanity Church. And everyone was saying, man, this is the year we're going to get vision and it's our year. And we're going to see clearly. And then God clearly had other plans besides giving us 2020 vision in the middle of that. And here's the thing. This last year, so many things have actually come into focus. Things have been revealed. They've been made clear. Light has been shed on those things. And instead of having the like big bright version of 2020, things got chaotic and they got muddled and they got messy. And that's oftentimes some of the best places to find vision. That's oftentimes the best places to get clear around what's important, what matters most, and what actually is the thing that we are supposed to give our life to. Now, whenever we start a new year, there is a temptation to have this internal conversation that often sounds like this: new year, new me, right? Well, like as if the clock strikes midnight on January 1st and all of a sudden, like, everything's made new, we're made new, it's a new me, new fresh year. I mean, how many times have we had that thought in our head over New Year's, is we think, we're starting fresh, and we think, well, this is finally my year. This is finally what takes place. And from my perspective, that thinking is actually quite unhelpful. I know it seems to be helpful, but in many ways, it's problematic, because here's the thing. It is not a new year, new you. It's new year, same old you, because you brought you right into 2021. Everything that was there, you brought it all with you, right? Nothing actually changed at 12:01 on January 1st, 2021. There was no, like, slate that was cleaned. There was no redo. There was none of that, right? We brought ourselves into this. So you brought all of your thoughts, all of your habits, all of your attitudes. How many of you have noticed that already? You're like, oh, they're still there. All of my demons, they're still there waiting for me. Just a brand new year. It's another date on the calendar, essentially. But we find ourselves going, maybe there's a new part of me. And look, I get the temptation. I get the temptation to think, like, new year, fresh start. We get to step into this. Like this is the year that I start a diet, right? Like, how many of you had great expectations for January 1st? How many of you have already broken them, right? And it's like, man, this is the new year, I'm starting this. Or maybe this is the year I'm finally gonna break that habit that I've had for a long time. Or now that the day has started fresh, I'm finally gonna engage in that dream or that career move or that thing that I was gonna step into and have in front of me. But if you're reliant on a date on the calendar to change, you will always be victim to the calendar. You'll always be waiting for that moment that where the planets align, or when things change, or every Monday for some of us, where when we start again and we go again, and we find ourselves reliant on this calendar to inform us when we can change. Because so many people said 2020 was their year, and then they found themselves very disappointed with what the year held for them. Now, to be clear, 2020 did not bring with it the powerlessness, the hopelessness, the despair, the overwhelm that so many of us experienced last year. It didn't usher that in. If you'd be willing to consider this, is that it was already there, and 2020 just revealed it. The year just revealed what we had already brought with us into that year. And then 2020 was like, let's just pull the lid off this thing and show you what's actually there underneath the surface. It was there long before a calendar date. It was there long before a pandemic. It may still be there. And the problem is that you might be shocked when circumstances get better, but all of that still remains. When things actually start to clear up and then you're like, wait, the pandemic's gone and jobs are back and things are going, but I still have this sense of powerlessness or hopelessness or despair that seems to be traveling with me as a result of this thing. It's interesting because we in our leadership team at Humanity, even back in 2018, we were praying for a revival. Like, we had this sense that God was bringing this new thing. And I know that in itself is cliche. So there I go, already starting the year off right. But we had this sense of like, God, I know you're wanting to do something new. I know there's this new thing. And if you're around church circles, which I know many of you don't run in those circles, but pastors oftentimes talk about revival, and it usually has a very specific way that it looks. And it usually has something to do with like God invading, and there's like miracles and manifestations of God and all kinds of stuff like that. And I, to be honest, that isn't even what I was looking for. I was just looking for the new thing that God was going to do in us and through us. And I actually think that a revival happened in a very powerful way that we were in and are still in. And what that revival looked like was God shining a light and illuminating the things in our lives and the things in our culture and the things in the world around us that needed to be illuminated. The dark spaces, the hidden spaces, the things that had maybe been covered up by comfort and by routine and by predictability. He just unearthed all of those in an attempt to remove what was needed in us. Not necessarily in culture, but in us, so that we might be made new in that. And some of us resisted that process. Some of us are still resisting that process, but that's what God is doing. And I am convinced that this is absolutely the revival that we needed and do need. Of God just saying, hey, I'm gonna shine a light, I'm gonna prune, and I'm gonna remove all of this. This language is all throughout scripture. Of God uncovering, shining a light, removing the things that need to be removed so that we can move forward. In fact, probably the most potent space in the scriptures is when Jesus talks to us in John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, and he says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Then he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And he continues on to use this metaphor of him being the vine and us being the branches. And he talks about how he prunes and trims everything that needs to be removed from us, the branches, in order to bear fruit, in order to live the life that we were called to live. Back a few months ago, we hired a new gardener to come, a lawn guy. It's so funny. When I tell people in Texas we have a gardener, they're like, a gardener? Who are you? And I'm like, it's a lawn guy, right? So we hired a new lawn guy to mow our lawn because our sons are not old enough to push a lawnmower, but someday that's coming. And he came in and he said, hey, can I trim your bougainvillea? And if you know me, I love my bougainvillea. I'm a very proud bougainvillea owner. And I was like, yeah, sure, prune the bougainvillea. We hadn't done it in a while. And so he goes at it, and I go inside, and I come back an hour later, and this thing is, like, gone. Like, that thing is like a shrub. Like, it was this glorious purple flower Spanish thing. Now it's like, it was like a ball on the ground. And I was like, oh, what did you do to my bougainvillea? And he said, it's okay. It'll come back, I promise. And I'm like, I don't think you know what you're doing. Like, this is my pride and joy in our backyard. And I was so angry with him. In fact, to my demise, I said, hey, I don't think this is working out. I think like we're going to have to part ways because this is not what I meant by trimming the bougainvillea. And he said, it's okay. And lo and behold, a few weeks later, I go out. And this thing is like growing and growing and growing. And now we have like the most glorious bougainvillea we've ever had before. I feel bad. I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna email the guy and say, I'm so sorry, but we shouldn't have let you go. Our bad, we'll write you a reference letter or whatever it may be. But I realized that this guy actually knew what he was doing, that he had to cut that thing down so small because there was a future coming for that bougainvillea that he knew would be better if he'd done that. And to me, it looked horrifying. I was like, what have you done? I was so scared. And here's the thing. I actually think this is the same process that God does with us. That God is so faithful to come in and remove anything and everything that is going to be detrimental for the future that he is calling us and his community into. See, think for a moment. Just pause for a moment. Think about everything that was removed from your life last year. And I'm not even talking about like eating out, right? That's the small thing. But just think about all of like the little creature comforts, all of the pride that was removed, all of the needing to be right that was removed, all of the anger or all of the frustration or all of the relationship dynamics that were removed. And just think about how much God pruned from your life last year. And it might be worth asking, why did God want that gone? Why did God look at that in your life and say, you know what, of everything that needs to be gone, this needs to be gone. Of everything that needs to be pruned, this needs to be pruned. And you may look at it and go, what are you doing, right? But God, in his infinite wisdom, is pruning things away. What does he want to grow out of my life this year that he had to prune last year? Well, what is it that he's wanting to grow from my essence this year that he wants to step into now? Now, here's the thing. God does not ever give us like a do-over. This nice idea of like a clean slate. There are other languages that he uses, which we'll talk about, other words that he uses. But when you look at God's relationship with the Israelites, he gave them these moments in their life of pause and reset. And I think those moments are actually really important. That he would actually have the Israelites quite often pause, reflect, and reset, go again. This is why when you look through the Old Testament, God is constantly having the Israelites in festivals, in parties, in memorial services. I mean, he had constant reminders for them of who he was, what he was doing, and opportunities to say, let's go again. Like, let's have a reset. In fact, there was one festival that took place every 7 years where everyone's debt was canceled and you got to start over. Who wouldn't love that, right? Like, could you imagine just waking up and say like, hey, 2021, mortgages are reset, your credit cards are gone, all of the car loans are done, right? Because even financially, God understood like there needs to be like a reset here. There needs to be a redo in the middle of all of this. And so he had all kinds of festivals and feasts and remembrance and opportunities to reset. And a new year is like that. It's not necessarily a blank slate. It's not that everything that you brought into last year and everything that you took out of last year is suddenly gone in the middle of this, but it is a moment to reset. And the word, the language that God uses in the scriptures to describe that is this word renew, to make new again. If you know me, one of the things that I really believe in is that every follower of Jesus have a passport. I'm just very firm on that. I think that if God was to say like, hey, I need you to go someplace tomorrow, you should be able to like, I'll go, right? So we have Passport Sunday here at Humanity Church, and we want to help people get their passports because we think it's an important thing as global citizens of the world. And we went on a trip back in August and came back, and I realized that my passport was about to expire. And I don't like being without a passport, so I sent it off. And the passport processing time right now is about 16 weeks. So I sent it in. So if you're planning on going on a trip in the next couple months, you're not going, and you don't have a passport. But it took 16 weeks to get that thing back. And the whole time, I had this like impending sense of like anxiousness in the back of my mind. It didn't live with me. But every now and then I was like, I don't have a passport. I can't leave the country. Now, not that I need to flee the country. Don't worry, all right? But I just thought, oh man, if we needed to go somewhere, I can't go. If we needed to like help someone, or if we needed to be out of the country somewhere, or if Ukraine called us, or if we needed to get to Thailand real fast, we couldn't move. And I felt so restricted. And I can't tell you how freeing it was the day that I got my passport and I opened it up and it was renewed. It went from being invalid, could not leave the country, could not go anywhere, to being renewed, and it was like new, and so now I can go wherever I need to go. And that's what renew means. It means something that was invalid, that didn't work, that was broken, and then it makes it like new again so that it can continue to renew. Literally, the word means to make new again. Now, think about every major burden that you carry, every anxiety that you have, every worry that you have. And here is the thing. I have noticed with me that every burden, every anxiety, every frustration, everything that I carry, there is probably something in you, in others, or the world that you feel cannot be made new again. And that's why there's an anxiety around it. That's why there's a burden around it. That's why there's some type of hopelessness connected to it. It could be a habit that you're stuck in and you're like, I just can't make this new. I can't figure out how to make this new again. It could be in your marriage with another relationship, and you're like, I just can't figure out how to renew this relationship, how to make this new again. It could be in your finances, and you're like, how do I get out of the debt? How do I restart? How do I stop spending? How do I get back to a space where I am new again? That moment where you didn't have debt, right? Back when you were 16, maybe. And maybe it's in your career. Maybe you're like, man, I can't get this new again. I can't get there. It could be in your future, your circumstances, your past, your personhood. There's usually, in every anxiety, in every burden, in every space of hopelessness, something that we look at and we go, this can't be made new. I just can't figure out a way to make this new. And this is why the invitation of Jesus is always so powerful to me. Because what he invites us into is the possibility for renewal, to make new again. Not to wipe everything clean, but to make it new. And this is why all throughout the scriptures, this language is used. In Psalms 51:10, it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, God's invitation to you, to me, to us, not just on January 1st, but on every moment that we step into, in every moment we step into, in every day, in every hour, in every second that we are in relationship with him, is come to me, I will take your old and I will make it new again. I will renew you. And I think that this is what separates the movement of Jesus from all religion, including what Christianity has become. Because what religion says is come and I will teach you how to be good. That's what religion says. So it tells us that if you are good, then you can be made new. That if you follow the right rules, if you follow the right dogma, if you follow the right regulations, if you can change your behavior, then somehow you can be made new. Even if that dogma is, hey, just ignore your brokenness. Just ignore it. Just la, 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 doesn't exist. It's okay. And then you'll be made new. You'll be okay as long as you just keep it at bay, or you correct your behavior, or you follow the rules, or you do fill in the blank. Now Jesus has a radically different message from that. He actually says, come to me and I will make you new. Come to me and I will do the work in that, because I am good and that is just who I am. So when you connect to me, my personhood will make you good. This relationship will make you good. And then because he has made us good already, we are transformed in the process. See, it's not the rules and the regulations and the dogma and the theology that makes us good. We are made good. And then because of that, we look to Jesus and say, all right, how do I live this out? What's the lifestyle? What's the way of living? What's the kindness, the generosity, the patience, the love, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness that I need to step into, the self-control that I need to engage in to continue to live out this goodness that you've already placed inside of me because of who you are? And where I notice that many of us get stuck in this process, we think that it's a one-way street of how this renewal takes place. See, either I'm supposed to do this all myself, and so I take on the renewal for me. And so I go into like endless mantras every morning. I go into endless routines. I go through strict behavior changes. I get accountability buddies and I do all the things. And if I do all the things, then somehow I will be able to renew myself. And that just leads to exhaustion. That just leads to an endless amount of work trying to renew ourselves alone. Or the opposite is, well, God will just do this to me. And we have this weird like, all right, God, renew, right? Whatever it looks like. And we think that we actually have no part in this, and it becomes a very mystical and spiritual event that we just wait for. Okay, God, beam me up, do your magic. But what if it actually was something in between? What if it was actually a partnering with God in the renewing of ourselves? See, the scriptures actually say that we renew our mind and then God transforms our heart. That there's a partnering that takes place with God in this renewal, making new process moving forward. And part of the renewal process that we miss so often is looking for the new that God is actually calling you into and being crystal clear on that. Like, what is the new thing that God is calling me into? See, because so oftentimes we live life looking backwards, right? And we are crystal clear about what we don't want. Like, we're super clear. I don't want to be like my mom or dad. I do not want that behavior that I've engaged in. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to say those things. I don't want to eat those things. I don't want to look at the scale. I don't want to spend like that. I don't want to. I certainly don't want any of those things. And so we are clear about what we do not want. And here's the thing. Knowing what you do not want is not the same as being clear about where God is taking you. There is a very big difference between those two things. See, we can say all we want, I want to get out of debt. That is very different from saying I want to be financially stable so that I can give of my resources away. It's very different from saying I don't want to worry anymore from saying I want to be filled with peace and I want to be marked by a life that is informed by the Prince of Peace. There is a very big difference between saying I want to give up alcohol and I want to thrive with the people around me and live my life free from any substance that is required to bring me happiness and joy. There is a big difference between saying I want to lose weight and I want to live healthy. There's a big difference between being clear about what I don't want and being clear about where I'm headed and where I'm going. And then when we crash, we wonder, how did we get here? How did I get to this space? Because the whole time, we haven't been driving forward. We've just been looking backwards, saying, I don't want that, I don't want that, I don't want that. Or worse, we don't crash, and we just drive around aimlessly. We just do a bunch of activities, hopefully that will get us somewhere, away from wherever we didn't want to be, and so we live meaningless lives. Places that we weren't ever meant to live, and we find ourselves in this spiral. And so many of us aren't clear about where we're going. This year, my son entered the amazing world of Legos, and I love it because I feel like I'm a four-year-old again with him, and we play Legos often together at the kitchen table. But Legos are very different from when I was a kid because now they come with instruction books. Before they were like, here's Legos, build something, right? And now they're like, here's the 15-page document that lets you know what to build with each piece. And of course, Jackson's four, so guess who actually gets to build the spaceship or the truck or the house? Dad, right? And so here's the thing. Those things are very detailed instructions. You thought IKEA was crazy? Try Legos, right? I mean, it is like use 7.421 piece and connect that to piece 82397. And it is very detailed. I mean, we built a small little house and it was like a 24-step process to put the house together. And so we go through, but here's the thing. With the instructions, it starts out with, here's a picture of what it's supposed to look like. So you can constantly go back and say, okay, this is what we're building. I can see how that fits there. We're going back. And then it goes step by step. Now add this, now add this, now add this, now add this. Now, here's the thing that wouldn't be helpful. If they just gave you a bunch of Legos and said, build what it's supposed to be, it isn't a helicopter. Right? I mean, that would not be helpful. If it was just like, here's all the 72 pieces you need to build the masterpiece that is in front of you, but it is not a house. That would not make any sense in where we were going. But this is oftentimes where we find ourselves, where we're like, I want to build my life. I want to build out the future that God is calling me to, but it isn't that. And then we start building and we don't know where we're headed. And I love how God constantly invites his people into this in the scriptures. In Joshua 24, starting in verse 14, it says this to us. In Joshua 24, starting in verse 14, God is talking to the people of Israel as they're entering into the promised land. They're like getting settled in the promised land. And he says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worship beyond the Euphrates rivers and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in the land who are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See, look, what God tells the people of Israel, his people in this passage, is look, you have been serving all these gods and they have been getting you into trouble every single time. They have been leading you into a path of destruction and darkness and hopelessness. That they, every single time you go down this path, it has not been good. Have you seen this? And then he says to them, look at your past and now look to the future that I am calling you into. And here's the most amazing thing in that passage that astounds me every time is God commands them, leave your gods behind. And then he says, if you don't want to do that, choose. Feel free. Gods are there. You can continue following them. Feel free. You're welcome to do that. Or choose me. And Joshua says, today we will serve the Lord. So choose, continue with what you have, or feel free to enter into the new thing that I have for you. This message is ingrained in the people of Israel from the very beginning. He says, look, I have this future for you. I have this tomorrow that I am calling you into that, trust me, it is a promised land filled with milk and honey. It is everything that you've been looking for. It is the future that I'm designed for you. But you choose. You choose if you want to enter in. You get to make the decision if this is the future that you long for. Another cliche verse, Deuteronomy 30:19 says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. See, God says, look, I'm putting in front of you life and blessings or death and curses. You choose. I refuse to choose for you. You are the one in the driver's seat. And you get to choose the future that you wish to lean into. God says, I have made the way. It's your choice whether you want to enter in. A few weeks ago, I was having a Facebook conversation with someone who was struggling with their faith. And I love having honest conversations with people. I would much rather have someone tell me, look, I think God is a phony and I think that he's full of it, and have that conversation than have a conversation that's superficial. And this person actually made a really profound statement. They just said, I'm so frustrated because it feels like God's a narcissist. And they said, it just feels like he demands worship and he demands for us to honor him and he demands all these things from us. And it seems like he's just constantly in need of adoration. And I thought, yeah, good point. I could see how you could get to that conclusion. But here's the thing. If God is an all-powerful God and he can do whatever he wants, and he can control us and the universe however he wishes. If he was a narcissist, you would have no choice in your worship of him. you would have absolutely no choice. Because if he was a narcissist that needed your worship, guess what? You would be on your knees before him, whether you liked it or not. But the fact that you actually have the choice to say, I think you're a narcissist, actually informs me that he isn't a narcissist. Because he says, you get to choose. Literally, look, it's up to you. And what I love about God is he will weep when you make a choice other than the future that he has called you into. He will literally weep over you. But he gives that to you, to choose the future that you are called into. See, the moment that you connect to Jesus, it says that you're a new creation. That's the moment your slate is wiped clean. The second you connect to him, he says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far I've taken your brokenness, your hopelessness, what the scriptures call sin and your darkness away from you. So he literally wipes you clean. That's your wipe clean moment when you connect to him. But then you get to decide what you do with the new life. You get to decide how you live into that. And if you don't know where you're going, if you don't know where God is calling you into, you will always live a life of reaction to every circumstance, every situation that you find yourself in, rather than intention, moving towards the destination that he has called you into. See, because what I love is that God just, he doesn't say to the Israelites, his one command is not, get rid of all those gods. That's not his only command. He doesn't like focus all of his attention. Hey, just get rid of the gods. If you could just get rid of those, they're false, they're idolatrous. Just get rid of them, get rid of them, get rid of them, and give all of your energy towards getting rid of these gods and just keep running and keep running and keep running. Use your energy on getting away from everything that is behind you. But that's so often how we relate to our spiritual journey. But I just need to get rid of the temptation. I need to get rid of the thoughts. I need to get rid of the habits. I need to get rid of the anxiety. No wonder so many of us find ourselves spiraling because we use all of our energy trying to get away from what we don't want and what isn't working when God's invitation is to choose. He says to choose who you will serve, not what you need to get rid of. No, notice he doesn't say, choose you this day who you will get rid of. It's a forward movement, service. He says, make the decision who your life is going to serve because you will serve something. Your life will be given to something. And here's the thing. When you know who you're serving, when you know where all of your energy and your attention and your intention and your focus and your heart and your mind and your spirit and your body is serving, when all of your energy goes to that, what you need to release becomes really clear. What you need to let go of becomes incredibly clear. What you need to step out of becomes really obvious, but so will your destination. So will the future that God is calling you into. See, your way out of whatever you're in is to choose who you will serve, is to choose where your life goes and who you will submit to. As a youth pastor, I would have endless conversations with young men who were struggling with sexual addiction and pornography and things like that. And I always felt so much empathy because there was always the conversation of, I just got to get rid of this. I just got to get rid of this. I just got to get rid of this. And they would try everything. I mean, they would get accountability buddies and they would get all kinds of things. Here's the thing. If you can lie to your parents, you can lie to your accountability partner, right? And we would just try so much to release. And finally, I realized we're focusing on the wrong thing. Because if all your energy is, don't touch this, don't look, don't do this, your energy is always going into what has had you in the past. And it was amazing how when we switched the focus to, what do you want your life to be about? Where do you want to give your energy to? What is the mission and the future that God's called you into? What is it that you must give all of your energy and attention and focus and drive to that is going to be way more attractive, way more exciting, way more fulfilling than this over here? And it was amazing that as soon as so many of these young men just decided, oh, this is what my life is about, this didn't become as attractive anymore. And it was a release that took place naturally when they decided who they would serve over here on this side. So I'm going to ask you a question as we start 2021 that I believe God has been asking his people from the beginning of time, and that is this: who will you serve this year? Who will you give your life to? Who will you give your energy, your intention to? Who will you serve, and where are you going? Because that is the question. Because you will serve someone, or you will serve something. And that will determine everything. So I want to get really practical. I know I never get practical in my talks. I don't like my, here's the three things you should do. This day I'm going to get really clear on those things. The first thing is know who you're serving and know where you're going. So if you haven't spent some time yet already this week, I'm going to ask you to spend some time asking God, what am I supposed to give my life to this year? What am I supposed to give my intention to? What am I supposed to focus my energy onto? And here's the thing. I'm not asking you to ask him like, hey, I'm supposed to start a new job, or I'm supposed to get a Mercedes, or I'm supposed to do this or this. I'm not going to ask you to ask him, what am I supposed to do? I'm going to ask you to ask him, who am I supposed to become this year? Where is my heart supposed to be this year? What kind of human being are you calling me to become this year that is needed to step into the future? And so he may say things like, what I really need you to focus on this year is kindness. What I really need you to focus on this year is generosity or self-control or patience. What I really would love for you to focus on this year is giving yourself fully to the people around you and pouring yourself out. And I'm going to ask you to get crystal clear on that. And I'm going to ask you as well to find scriptures that are connected to that. If you have no idea what that means or looks like, just Google scriptures about, fill in the blank, right? You'll find them. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, all of these things that the scriptures call fruit of the Spirit. And just say, all right, God, show me in the scriptures where I am supposed to give my life to, and write those down. Put them somewhere that you can see clearly. I always tell people, put them like on your Bible or your fridge, whichever you open more, all right? That didn't go over very well. And here's the thing that I always hear from people. People are always like worried, what if I pick the wrong thing? Like, what if I pick the wrong thing? Like, as if you were like, I picked kindness and God wanted me to pick faithfulness. Oh no, let me tell you, God's not gonna be angry that you became a more kind person this year, all right? He's not gonna be like, dang it, he picked goodness. Ah, why, right? So focus on the thing that God brings to your mind. And if you're like, hey, I don't even know if this is like biblical, email us, call one of us, connect to your community group leaders, connect to one of your leaders here at Humanity. You can just email info@humanitychurch. We would love to support you on that journey. So make it clear, connect the scriptures to it, and get really focused this year on where you're headed, where you're going, what you're giving your life to, and who you're going to become. The second thing is this: start practicing taking your thoughts captive. So in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, I know I say this catchphrase all the time, but I live by this, and that is that you do not have to believe everything that you think. I know that's like a novel concept, but you do not have to believe every thought that comes into your head. In fact, you probably should not believe every thought that comes into your head. You should probably take it and go, is this in alignment with the person that God is calling me into? Is this in alignment with God's conversation over my life? Is this in alignment with the future that God has for me? See, everything that you think about yourself, about others, about the world around you is actually not 100% true. I know that's a shock for so many of you. See, because here's the thing. When you start making a shift towards the future, towards the person that God has called you into, the scriptures say that your old nature will need to be trained to go that way. Because look, you've been going in all kinds of directions for a while. And so it's like muscle memory, spiritual muscle memory that says, oh, I know that I've been choosing selfishness, but now God's calling me to generosity. So I have to take this captive and train it to go towards the new future that God is calling me into. And so you're gonna have to fight internally a little bit. It may get a little uncomfortable. It may get crazy, right? This is why the scriptures use battle language to describe what takes place inside of us when we make a shift towards the future that God has for us. It's not just like, oh, cool, I'm supposed to be kind? Great. There's a battle that takes place. So get used to taking your thoughts captive. Be in the constant state of asking, is this thought from God? Is this thought true? Does this thought connect to the thoughts that God has for me? You must subjugate them to the thoughts of God. So get used to taking your thoughts captive because they are not capital T truth. And the last thing is this. I know this is another shocking thought for some of you, but you will miss it along the way. You will miss it. You may get clear this year that, man, this is my year for patience. And then all of a sudden your kids act up. You may think this year, man, this is my year for generosity, and I'm gonna be generous. And all of a sudden, your time gets sucked up, your money gets sucked up, and you're like, right? And you will miss it. So the last thing that is so critical in this is to confess and move forward. To confess and move forward. To just say, hey, look, I'm human, I missed it. And to continue moving forward. Because you will blow it, and your natural response as a human being will either be towards shame or apathy. You will either decide, I'm a horrible human being, woe is me, I've blown it, I can never do this, I should give it all up, shame. Or you will move towards apathy and it will sound like, well, I guess that didn't work, so let's move on. And confession, not just between you and God, but to people around you, in your community groups, to the people that mean the most to you, the people that are on journey with you, of saying, look, I missed it. I know I'm committed this year to kindness and I was not kind. I know I was committed this year to faithfulness and I was not faithful. I was committed this year to love and I did not love well. And confess and move forward. Give yourself permission to be human this year and give God permission to be a savior this year when you do miss it. 2020 blindsided most of us. And I'm actually committing to not talk about 2020 for the rest of the year as we move forward. 2020 blindsided so many of us, but what I am excited for is to be ready to step into 2021 with the full force of God behind us, of us being clear about where our destination is that he is calling us into as human beings, and moving forward, not just as individuals, but as a community. Clear about the future that God has for us and clear about where our energy, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our spirits are taking us and where we are taking them and allowing God to show off within us in a powerful way. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you come to us and you say, hey, I have created the door for renewal. I have created the way to make all things new. And God, may that question echo inside of us this week. May it hound us this week. Who will you serve? Who will you serve? Who will you serve? Because I know that's the question that you're asking us, God. And may you find us faithful to respond, God. I ask that you would make super clear this week for those who actually respond and say, all right, God, show me. Show me what it is within me that you want to renew. What area of my heart do you want to renew? As we respond to that, God, I ask that you would make that clear, that you would speak to us through the scriptures, through friends, through community. God, teach us not to live simply based on what we do not want, but what we are called into. I thank you for the futures that are waiting. I thank you that you don't just wipe everything clean, that we actually bring it with us and that you renew everything, that you even take all of the mistakes and all of the hurts and all of the brokenness and all of the decisions from the past and you renew those so that we can step into the future with them, redeemed as examples of who you are, that you are the God who takes all of our mistakes and all of our darkness and all of our hopelessness and you renew them, God, as hope for other people. So this year, as we get clear about who we are and who you are and the mission that is in front of us, God, may we step into this year with so much intention, with so much beauty, with so much hope and faith, God, in a love that is just so, so powerful, fueled by you. I thank you that you have come for us, that you opened the door by dying for us and coming back to life. God, find us faithful to step through that door and to step into the life that you've called us to. I thank you in Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Humanity Church podcast. We hope that this was a meaningful experience, and we look forward to connecting again next week for another conversation around what it looks like to live by faith, to be known by love, and to be a voice of hope. Again, for more information about Humanity Church, you can visit us online at humanitychurch.com. And if you want to support the ongoing work here at Humanity Church, including this podcast, you can give online in about 10 seconds by texting the word Humanity Church, one word, to 77977. Thanks, and have an amazing week.